Praise the Lord. If you notice what the songs are all about, they're all about loving the Father and getting closer to Him. Because that's what God's calling us to do. Getting close to Him. You're going to have to learn to just praise and not do the thing. Just going to settle your little spirit down and just worship. Amen. It's hard to do, I know, but you can really do it. Well, sickness is running rampant everywhere. So we are really going to have to pray against the spirit of infirmity that has taken control of the land. And just trust and believe God that He is well able to break this thing down and to set His children free. I just want you to keep Brother Chris Gore's mother up in prayer. She's been really sick for 2 days now. I mean, really sick. And it's taken a toll on her and on him. Father, I just thank you and I praise you and I give you honor and I give you glory for all that you have done and all that you are doing and all that you're going to do. Father, you are the keeper of our souls. You know exactly what you want to do with us. And we are giving you full permission tonight. We're granting you, Father God, the permission to do with us what you desire to do. And Father, I thank you for open ears, open hearts, and receptive minds to hear, see, and receive what you have to say tonight. And I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. This is a little bit lengthy, and I don't know if I'll give it all or not, but we'll try it, all right? It's anointing of people after God's own heart. God is going to start anointing his people in a powerful way. And we have to be ready to receive that anointing. Now, he's been getting us ready for that, but there's still some things that we have to have done within us to receive the heavy, heavy, heavy anointing that he's getting ready to release. And don't forget, this Friday is the beginning of the Conquerors series seminar. Men and women both are invited because there's more women doing pornography than there are men. So we're inviting, you know, everybody to come out. And there's children doing pornography too. And, you know, it might even be good for a child to sit in on this and learn something. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Read that again. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have wars. In other words, they did not have a heart after God. All right. Now the Message Bible says the same scripture, 2 Chronicles 16:9. God is always on the alert, constantly on the lookout for people who are totally committed to him. You were foolish to go for human help when you could have had God's help. Now you're in trouble, one round of war after another. God is trying to get his people to seek his face and his face only every time you have a problem. He wants us to quit running to friends, to here, to there, and everywhere. He wants us to start seeking his face and his face only. All right? Daniel 11:32 says, the king of the north will play up to those who betray the holy covenant, corrupting them even further with his seductive talk. But those who stay courageously loyal to their God will take a strong stand. With everything that's coming down the road this coming year, we're going to have to be strong in the Lord. We're going to have to we should have been taking a stand all along. But each and every day when you get out of that bed, you're going to have to say, devil, I take a stand today to stand on the word of God. And not follow you, but follow my Father. Every day we need to do that. God desires to entrust his people with a great anointing and much power. He is not waiting for us to become perfect before he uses us. He is not waiting for us to become perfect before he uses us. And some of you sitting here tonight, you can say amen to that. Because you know you are still not perfected yet, and he's still using you. He is simply wanting to show himself strong to those whose hearts are yielded to him. The people of God have been going through training in order to become a people of the anointing. If you don't become everything God's wanting you to become, the anointing, when it hits, is going to kill you. it's going to be that strong of an anointing, it will totally kill you. This is why God's been teaching us and training us for a couple of years now to be people who can carry the anointing. If we really examine our lives, we can all find areas where our heart is not turned totally to God. You hear that? If we really examine our lives, we can all find areas where our heart is not turned totally to God. The anointing, which is His Spirit, will only flow through people who don't resist Him. Since their spirit, soul, and body has been tempered by the Lord, the anointing flows freely from them as rivers in desert places and streams in the wilderness. Did you hear that? The anointing, which is His Spirit, will only flow through people who don't resist God. Since their spirit, soul, and body has been tempered by the Lord, the anointing flows freely from them as rivers in desert places and streams in the wilderness. Now, the people of the anointing will reflect particular characteristics of God's heart. The people of the anointing will reflect particular characteristics of God's heart. Have you noticed the preachers nowadays are real young people? Have you been noticing that? And they're on fire. I mean, they're out there just like old steam engines. It's going as strong as they can go. Somewhere along the line, they must have really yielded their heart to God. And God placed that anointing on them so they could go forth and preach the gospel. God is requiring more of all of us. Those who have borne good fruit will be expected to bear much fruit. Those who have done much for God will be expected to do much more. You listening, Lighthouse? Come on. Wherever we go, we will give out new life and new fruit. It is time for us to arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has come upon us. Isaiah 61:3, I think 4 years ago, that was our scripture. And as I contemplate that, I thought, have we arose and shined? No, think about it. A heart of unbelief. Caleb and Joshua were two of the spies who were sent in to spy out the promised land. They saw giants in the land, and although they were a minority, they came back with a good report. You find that in Numbers 13:30. 10 of the 12 spies came back with an evil heart of unbelief, saying that it could not be done. Satan came to steal God's promised word from them. But Caleb refused to doubt. When God speaks, we must resist doubt as we would a terrible sin, because in God's eyes, doubt is a terrible sin. God told me one time, if you don't get out of doubt and unbelief, I'm going to remove your candlestick. God is very serious about that. We cannot have doubt or unbelief if God is going to use us. Joshua 14:6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, said to him, "You know the word which your Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to them as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." He didn't care what other people did. He wholly followed the Lord his God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God." See how God blessed him? Because he wholly, with all of his heart, he followed God. "And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am, this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me." Wouldn't that be wonderful? He was 40 then, and now he's 80, he's still just as strong. Why? Because he followed the Lord his God wholly, with all of his heart. "Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb the son of Jephunneh as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. If you really read your word, you're going to find out everybody that wholly followed God with all their heart was always blessed. They were never cursed. This new heart that God is putting in the church is a determined heart. Our heart has to be determined. One that is fervent and will not faint when it sees the enemy. It is a heart like that of Joshua and Caleb. While others were full of fear and unbelief, these two were determined not to give in. You might be living in a family of 10 people and everybody else is walking down in unbelief, but you stand your ground. Don't you dare give in. All right? You might be in an office where everybody just comes against you because you love the Lord. You stand your ground. Don't you give in. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, body, mind, and spirit. All right, they were determined to finish the course. You have to be determined to finish your course. God is raising up a Joshua generation this hour and placing his spirit of boldness within us. You're going to find yourself just speaking, you know, and you wonder, where did all that come from? I wrote Sister Nancy an email today, and I said when she was up here New Year's Eve, and I watched her and Brett both speaking, and they had such boldness, and they didn't have any notes or nothing. They just stood up here and just spoke, you know. They just, like they've been speaking all their lives. And I just thought that was wonderful. See, God is, because they're both following God with all their heart. They're not perfect. I'm going to throw that in there. But, you know, seeing God has given them boldness to go forth and do the things that he's calling them forth to do. All right? The heathen tribes, which the children of Israel had to conquer in order to claim their rightful inheritance. All right, let's start that again. The heathen tribes, which the children of Israel had to conquer in order to claim their rightful inheritance, represents the works of the enemy in our own promised land today. We are going to talk about the definitions of what some of them represent. We as a church must go in and conquer them to possess our inheritance. The Canaanites. This word literally means to press down or to humiliate. Oppression can come from sickness, poverty, or a number of demonic circumstances. Depression is another word we could use to define this enemy that at some time or another everyone must defeat and conquer. The anointing of the Spirit will give us victory to rise up above our circumstances. You hear me? The anointing of the Spirit will give us victory to rise up above our circumstances. Because God's word to us is the highest form of reality, our faith in it, in his word, will bring joy and peace in believing. Psalm 43:5 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God." You know, to quit being cast down. Hope in God. God, if God said it, he's going to do it. And he's going to revive those things that are dead within us. The Hittites. This word means fear or terror. How many times have God's people missed the promised land because they were afraid? Remember, God taught us about fear over and over and over again. Fear is a terrible thing. It is the opposite of faith and destroys it. God says in his word 365 times, once for every day of the year, fear not. We need not fear, for God is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will carry us into the promised land and will protect us from the enemies we encounter. There's such peace in here tonight. Don't you guys fall asleep. There's really a lot of peace in here tonight. You feel that? All right, we need not fear, for God is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will carry us into the promised land and will protect us from the enemies we encounter. Now, do you believe that? You see, you have to believe that, or you're not going to make it. We just can't be speaking words through our lips. It has to come from our very heart. We know that we know that we know that what we're saying is the truth. The Perizzites, this word means an unwalled city and implies a lack of discipline. These were people who dwelt in unwalled cities. In Proverbs 25:28 says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Now, undisciplined people are like unwalled cities. They are neither dependable nor secure. These people are up one day and down the next without any consistency in their life. Commitment to discipline is the key that will bring the uncommitted and undisciplined into their personal promised land. You're going to have to commit to yourself that you're going to start disciplining yourself and make yourself do the things you know you have to do for God. You're just going to have to do that. As we organize our days, we will present to the Lord a heart filled with wisdom. Consistent discipline over a long period of time will win the war. Don't do it one day and then drop it the next day. You know, that's not true discipline. You have to do it every day. Some of you have to make yourself do it. The Amorites, this word means to speak or say and implies negative speech. Both criticism and complaining are manifestations of negative speaking. We have all been subject to murmuring at one time or another, asking God, why must I do this? Murmuring kept many of the people of Israel from their promised land. I just read an article today where this young man, he just knew that God told him to quit his job and work for him, and he would pay him really well. I thought that was my story being written. But he said he quit his job, and he said he had some money saved up, and he figured God was going to open all the doors the next day, you know, and he was just going to just be running in money. But that isn't how it worked, and he found himself running out of money. And he was complaining one day, and the pastor told him, or somebody told him, a friend or somebody, said, why are you murmuring and complaining? Why don't you just trust God and believe what he told you? So the guy said, he sat down and thought, and the other guy told him, you're not going to get anything as long as you're murmuring and complaining. So he said, the guy sat down and thought about it and repented, and now he's believing that God's going to do everything he said he's going to do when he quit his job. How many of us do that? He's not in the boat alone, neither am I. Y'all there too. We must put a watch over our mouths so that we don't sin against God in this way. Death and life reside within the power of the tongue in Proverbs 18:21. Philippians 4:8 tells us, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's what we're supposed to be meditating on. Discipline your mind to meditate on that which is good, true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report. Let all that negative junk go by the wayside. The opposite of criticism and complaining is thankfulness, which happens to be the will of God concerning you. Your thanksgiving and praise to God will always drive out the enemy. Your thanksgiving and praise to God will always drive out the enemy. Get that in your spirit. That's why we have to praise all the time. The Jebusites, this word means to trample and implies depression or oppression. Depression is a complete opposite of confidence and joyfulness. The garment of praise expels a spirit of heaviness. Praise silences the enemies of God, which bring oppression. Praise, the other night I was sitting at my computer, and I just started to get a little bit frustrated. I don't know why, because I was all alone. And God says, put on the songs and listen to them as you're studying. So I did, and all that heaviness lifted. I don't know where it was coming from, but God told me, get the praise music going. And as I did that, everything lifted, and I was fine. So you might want to try that next time you have a little bit of heaviness going on. All right, praise silences the enemies of God, which bring oppression. As wax melts in the presence of fire, so do the enemies of God fall back at his presence. In this one thing we can be confident, Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? See, we don't believe that. We don't believe that. We don't practice that. We don't live that. The majority of the body of Christ doesn't. So you do. Thank you. The shoe didn't fit. Don't put it on. But the majority of the body of Christ do not believe if God is for us, who can be against us? Is that if? You know, it's not if. God is for us. So who can be against us? The Lord reigns. The devil is defeated. So let the earth rejoice. I didn't put that scripture down, but that's scripture. The Midianites, this word means strife or contention. Strife will paralyze and defeat. Strife will paralyze and defeat our covenant relationships within our marriage, our family, our local congregations, or any body of believers. Satan's strategy is to divide and conquer. We have to do away with all strife. Psalm 133:1-3 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded a blessing, even life forevermore. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So if you don't have unity in your home, then you need to get unity in there so that God can start blessing you. During the building of the Tower of Babel, the Lord had to intervene because he saw the people were as one. Remember the story? And he said that nothing would be impossible for them. These were heathen. If this was God's judgment concerning ungodly men who were one, his judgment was because they worked together in unity, there wasn't anything they couldn't accomplish. If this was God's judgment concerning ungodly men who were one, they were one in one mind, one accord, what will happen when God's chosen ones come together, united in the Spirit, and submitted to God's purposes? There will be absolutely nothing impossible for those who walk in the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God with one heart and one way. Now, as I was typing, I was thinking about marriages. I was looking back at pastors that I know. And every pastor that has a big, thriving church, their husband and wife are in one mind and one accord, in total unity. They do not allow any disunity in their home, not even with their children, and they don't allow any disunity in their leadership in the church. If you can't get any unity, they ask you to leave. And God has really blessed them abundantly. Are you listening here? So if your household is not striving, then there's something wrong with your marriage. Because you're not in unity, you're not in one mind and one accord, and God doesn't bless disunity. You just let that sink in a little bit and just think, why am I not being blessed? Where is all your disunity? If there isn't any unity there, you'd be blessed. Philistines. I'm not being blessed because there's not unity in my family. There's disunity, and I know I'm not going to be blessed until the unity gets there. But I can't make other people come into unity. Are you understanding that? But I have to stay in unity. I can't get all frazzled and everything else. Philistines. This word means to wallow in the dust and implies self-pity. The dust is what our flesh is made of. The flesh always wants pity and pampering so it can get its own way. Amen. If one is ever going to get anywhere in spiritual things, this enemy must be put to death. Little Isaiah has picked up a little thing. He says, you make me so sad, you make me want to cry. I don't know where he heard that at. But every time he wants his own way, he'll say, you're making me sad and I'm going to cry. Then he does his fake crying. He wants his own way. It is interesting to note that little David had to slay his Philistine giant also, right? In fact, it was his first real battle and his most glorious victory. Perhaps this tells us that this enemy is the most common and elementary to the believer. Before coming into the promised land, thoughts and feelings of selfishness must be put to death. We're talking about you and I. David had to slay his giants. We have to slay our giants. So I said, perhaps this tells us that this enemy is the most common and elementary to the believer. We have to get that enemy out of the way so we can be blessed. Before coming into the promised land, thoughts and feelings of selfishness must be put to death. God loves the church, but it is carnal, selfish attitude will keep him from releasing his blessings. God loves the church, but its carnal, selfish attitude will keep him from releasing his blessings. The faith of God, will crush the enemy in his haunting lies of loneliness, hopelessness, and rejection. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but people don't believe that because they're always boo-hooing because a man or a woman left you and forsook you. God didn't. They did. God will not go against their will. And he won't go against your will. Why can't you just trust him and believe him and have faith in him, knowing that, all right, so this person isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing, but God is doing everything he's supposed to be doing. And God is working it all out. Remember, he said, I'm working behind the scenes. See, we don't believe God in anything he says or does. Because we're always moaning, groaning, and complaining because things aren't as we want them to be at this given moment. Now, I complain a lot to God, why aren't you doing it quicker? I believe he's going to do it, but I like him to work a little bit faster. Wouldn't some of you like him to work a little bit faster? I have to quit that too, though. He said, in my timing. And I really believe every time I say, why don't you do this quicker? I think that he might add a little bit more years on that or something, you know? If a thought has no hope in it, it is not of God. If a thought has no hope in it, it is not of God. Cast it down, excuse me, crush it under your feet and slay your Goliath. The Moabites. This word means against and implies one who is against God or is rebellious. The Moabites. This word means against and implies one who is against God or is rebellious. Get rid of that Moabite in your life so that you can take your promised land. Get rid of rebellion. Get rid of this being against God thing. If the spirit of lawlessness is allowed to ruin the church or in an individual's life, it will bring unfruitfulness and confusion. Running a church is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. People are rebellious, hard-headed, you know, snot-nosed, you know, always getting offended and everything else. We have to get rid of all that stuff. That's junk, and God can't, he can't grow the church when you're in that stuff. The rebellious live in a dry land. Number two, God's kingdom and his government bring peace without end. Number three, submission to his voice revealed in the word and through his delegated authority structure of apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists will bring you into your promised land. Let's read that again. The rebellious live in a dry land. If you're rebellious, you live in a dry land, you're not going to receive anything from God. God's kingdom and his government bring peace without end. If you're following God with all your holy with all your heart, then you should have peace without end. Submission to his voice, revealed in the word and through his delegated authority structure of apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists will bring you into your promised land. In other words, if somebody's over you and they're telling you that God's telling you to do something, then you need to do it. And quit fighting against God. You have to trust the person you're under, though. If you don't trust them, then you're not going to do anything they ask you to do. The Israelites did not conquer their enemies in one day. You hear that? The Israelites did not conquer their enemies in one day. They conquered them one at a time, little by little. You can do the same with God's help. So quit trying to conquer everything in a second or overnight. It's not going to happen. Deuteronomy 7:22. And the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will be unable to destroy them at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you and will inflict defeat upon them until they are destroyed. So God said, and the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will be unable to destroy them at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you. You know, little by little, and will inflict defeat upon them until they are destroyed. You're going to see your enemies no more. Be patient. God will destroy your Jebusites. He will tear down your oppression. He will purge all rebellion. He will give you your promised land. That's the truth. Be patient. God will destroy your Jebusites. He will tear down your oppression. He will purge all rebellion. He will give you your promised land. When Zerubbabel was commanded to rebuild the temple, the enemy arose to prevent him. God told him to proceed, but not in his own strength, nor with confidence in his own might. See this? The words spoken to him have become a classic cry of God's people in Zechariah 4:6b. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. We don't understand that scripture. But you can't do it on your own, is what God's saying. It's by his spirit that these things are going to happen. It is the working of the spirit of God within that destroys those enemies step by step. It is the working of the spirit of God within that destroys those enemies step by step. When we speak forth the word of faith, God will confirm it with signs following. When we speak the word with faith, signs follow. A lot of words we speak are shallow words. There's no faith behind them whatsoever. You just want to look good. You smile even while you're saying them. And you don't no more believe that, and the roof's going to, well, no, the roof might fall on you. You know, when the sun's not going to shine again. Amen. Use the sword of the Spirit that God has given you. Walk in faith and victory, knowing that everything contrary to God is a lesser power. Use the sword of the Spirit that God has given you. Walk in faith and victory, knowing that everything contrary to God is a lesser power. 1 Peter 4:12 says, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Right there, you're going to have to face your enemy, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. He said, quit getting all upset because the devil's after you. He said, rejoice about it. Right? The test of faith you are experiencing may be necessary for you to see the glory that God has prepared for you. The test of faith you are experiencing may be necessary for you to see the glory that God has prepared for you. I've noticed that these young preachers are out there. They're all saying that you should rejoice when the devil's coming after you. I said, well, somewhere along the line they learned that. You know, they're out there preaching it. When the devil tries to oppress you and steal the word of God from you, know that it is a sign that God wants to do something great in your life. He wants to give you a ministry of reconciliation. The enemy is trying to prevent it from coming forth. Don't let that defeated foe deceive you. Come on. Hold your head high, because through Jesus Christ and God's Spirit, you are an overcomer. You are an overcomer. David was a small boy, but he had a heart after God. His name means beloved. He was God's beloved. God took him from the sheepfold and gave him a great position of authority. But David had to pass many tests before he became king. For 8 years he ran from Saul, living as a fugitive in the wilderness. Now, he could have said, God, if you're God and I'm going to be king, why am I running away from this man? But he didn't. He kept running, right? If you will recognize it, God is working in your life also. You are defeating your giants and inheriting the promise. I don't know about you, but as I look at my life, I know that is happening. Not in my timing, but it is happening. And see, we overlook the little things that God is doing. And this is where we get in trouble and get in doubt and unbelief, because we overlook the little things. We don't understand God is working through the little things to get to the bigger thing. Joseph went from the pit to the prison to the palace. His brothers threw him in the pit because they were jealous of his calling and dream from God and of the favor their father showed him. Are you in a pit today? Joseph called upon God, and God took him out of that pit and brought him to Egypt. So if you're in a pit, call upon God. See where he takes you to. He was sold into slavery, but God took him to Egypt. There he was sold into slavery. But God had a higher purpose. God still had a higher purpose for Joseph. Joseph served faithfully as a slave and was honored by his master. Now remember his dream. All of his brothers and his mother and father were going to bow down to him, right? But he had to go through all this before that happened. Joseph served faithfully as a slave and was honored by his master. Then, just when it seemed that God was working to deliver him from slavery, a terrible thing happened. He was wrongly accused. See, all this is going to happen in your lives now. He was wrongly accused, framed by Potiphar's wife, and thrown into prison. But Joseph didn't get depressed into prison. He didn't let his gifts become dormant. He didn't stop believing God in the prison. See, in other words, your prison, you might be walking around just as no prison, no doors around you, no bars, but you're still in a prison. Don't let that prison keep you from doing the things that God is calling you forth to do. When Pharaoh had a strange dream, Joseph was called upon to interpret it. Pharaoh recognized that Joseph was the only one who could perform the work envisioned in the dream. So he gave him a governmental position as one of the king's trusted aides. Now see what God did there. He set that all up. He made him an interpreter of dreams, and then Pharaoh, you know, recognized that whenever he was telling me what the dream meant, hey, this man can do this thing. See how God works? Joseph could have had all kinds of dumb things going through his mind. He could have forgot everything that God ever told him, you know, and just moaned and groaned. He didn't. He stayed faithful. He stayed happy. You know, he didn't even come against the people that came against him. And look how God just kept prospering and prospering and kept building, taking him from one point to another point. So quit your looking at the point that you're at, because God's getting ready to take you to another point. And quit complaining where you're at, because the longer you complain, like God told me, daughter, you can run around that mountain as often as you want, but when you're ready to get off that mountain, I'll be right here waiting for you. In other words, I could complain all I wanted to complain, but when I was finished complaining, then God was ready to do what he promised me he was going to do. All right? Now, Queen Esther was a beautiful lady fashioned after God's own heart. She began as a young servant girl, loving and obeying God in her very young years, submitting herself to his teachings and to his leadings. That is why he chose her to save her people. So you young kids, that's what I'm trying to get through your heads. If you start serving God right now, God will choose you young kids to do things that a grown-up can't do because they don't serve God, they don't obey God. That is why he chose her to save her people. Powerful officials were plotting against them, but she didn't despair. She didn't care. She prepared herself faithfully for 12 months and was rewarded by being chosen to be the king's wife. She knew her people were going to be destroyed, but she went ahead and did what she had to do day by day until it was time for God to use her. In Esther 2:12, we read that of Esther purifying herself for 6 months in the oil of myrrh, which represents the anointing oil of the Spirit. The last 6 months were spent bathing in sweet odors, representing the sweet perfumes of Exodus 30, 34, and 36. Esther is a type of the Spirit-filled overcoming church. Now, those in Exodus 30, 34, and 36, those were special oils that God told them to put together, but no man dare use it. It was for the temple only. And if any man used it, then they were going to die. But, you know, see, God, you know, as I was reading that scripture, I thought, you know, God, you're so awesome. He even told people how to make the oils, you know, and told them exactly what they would do. Isn't that wonderful? If you're a person that makes oils, God will probably place it in your heart. And I think he does, Sister Nancy, exactly what oils to put together and what they're for. And that's the oils out there. God tells her how to put them together. Esther is a type of the Spirit-filled overcoming church. She reflects the beauty of the bride of Christ, courageous, submitted, and anointed by God to rule and reign. I know a couple of times God has called people Esther, so this is what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to reflect the beauty of the bride of Christ. You're supposed to be courageous, submitted, and anointed by God to rule and reign. We must recognize, as Esther did, that we have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. You find that in Esther 4:14. How many times has God said to you, I brought you to this place for such a time as this? Quit fussing about what you used to be and just thank God for what you are and what you're going to become. God has spoken and told us to cross Jordan and go into the promised land, has he not? Now, we have already crossed over, and I know we did that. Remember, we did that one night, remember? So I am encouraging you to take your promised land and drive out the enemies. You're in your promised land right now, and the enemy is there trying to block every blessing that God has promised you. Are you going to allow him to keep blocking your blessings, or are you going to make him leave? See, that's up to you. Now, if you're not receiving your blessings, it's because you're wallowing in self-pity and moaning and groaning, and God can't work with you on that. You have to be standing there looking that devil straight in the eye and telling him where he can go, right out of your life. He's not going to touch your promises. Your promises are going to be fulfilled because God said so. All right? So take your promised land and drive out the enemies. Remember, God is on your side. Always remember that. The enemy's not on your side. God is on your side. Go forth and in the anointing of his Spirit. Tonight, God wants you people to understand that he has been building, for the last couple of years, he's been building you up for such a time as this. God's been giving me some really neat prophetic words here lately. It's all about the powerful things he's going to be doing. Now, are you going to be part of that or are you not? Things are not always going to go the way you thought they're going to go or you think they're going to go. That does not make God any less God. That just makes you need to fall on your knees and to pray more. Because what is happening is the enemy has come to hold up your blessing from God. The enemy has come into your situation to make you get into doubt and unbelief. Now, we do not have any space any longer to be in doubt and unbelief. We have to know with a surety of heart tonight that God is for us and not against us, that he has given us a promise that he's going to fulfill every promise he has given us. The 2017, he will fulfill all those. And you have to know that if the enemy is coming against you, it's only because you already have the victory. And what's happening is the enemy's trying to make you believe that God is going to do what you need done in your life. Guys, I live this every day. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to tell the enemy that you know that you know that you know that God is on your side and that God is in control and he is working all things out for my good and his glory. You have to stand your ground. He does leave, but you're going to have to show him that you mean business. And you don't show him you mean business by whining and groaning and moaning and complaining and getting in denial and whatever else you get into. That excites the enemy, but it does not make God move. I want you tonight to get into belief. Stay in belief. Start, get into trust. Start trusting God that he is well able to do the thing that needs to be done. I'm hearing God say, the victory is yours, saith the Lord, as long as you trust me. All right, so there, God's telling you, you have to trust him, that he knows what has to be done, and the victory's already there. All you have to do is keep rejoicing that the victory has come to you. All right, if he says you're healed and your sickness gets worse, he told you you were healed, right? So that means you're in victory. So as the sickness gets worse, you just kept telling, nope, I'm healed, nope, I'm healed, nope, I'm healed. And don't give in to anything negative. The sickness might get worse. It will get worse. But you still say, nope, God said I was healed. You should remember, if God tells you you're healed or something, you should remember the date that he told you that. As I'll say, on December 31st, God told me I was healed, and I'm healed. I was healed then when he spoke it, and I'm healed today. Because we know as we read the word, healings didn't always take place the minute they were spoken. You know, they had to be walked out. But whenever you walk them out in faith. I just say you have a circumstance in your home. I have a circumstance in my life, in my home. And God has promised me 3 years ago how it's going to end out. And how it's going to come about. And so I've been, even though everything looks negative, I've been trusting and believing God said, nope, God said, no, no matter what anybody said, nope, God said, nope, God said. And if I even get disgruntled a little bit, I said, nope, God said. And I quit looking at what really is in front of my eyes, and I'm seeing it turn around. But it's taken 3 years. But I'm believing, and I know, because God has said that his promises aren't going to take 3 years anymore. They're going to come to pass immediately. Because this year he is a God of the suddenlies. And suddenly, everything that's been going crazy in your life is going to straighten out. If you wholly follow the Lord your God with all your heart. You have to love him and trust him with every fiber of your being. Are you understanding this tonight? So tonight what God wants to do, he wants to place in you an anointing of his spirit that will overcome any darkness that might come your way. There's going to be, he wants to place an anointing upon you that you won't ever doubt ever again. No matter how bad the circumstance look, I know he's done that with me. No matter how bad your circumstances look or become, you'll know that you know that you know that that's just all the devil just in there throwing stupid things at you to make you get into doubt and unbelief. And you won't get into doubt and unbelief because you'll know that God is in control and God is going to bring that thing to pass. Now, if you can trust God tonight for an anointing like that, no matter what's going on in your life now, everybody in this room has something going on in their life. Absolutely everybody. And it's going to take God to straighten it out. So you're not in the boat all by yourself. Why is that? Because this is where God's people are at. The devil is trying to steal, kill, and destroy right now. And if you aren't careful, he's going to steal, kill, and destroy all the promises God has given you. The altar's open if you want to come up for that special anointing. But I know that there's some things in here that you think there's no way God can intervene, but that's not true. The things that look impossible are possible to God. Don't ever think that God can't intervene, because he can, as long as you stay in faith and trust him. You need to become a people who hear God's voice every day about your situation. And when you become that person, every day he'll speak into your life about what's going on. The ushers are just trying to get you close to the altar so you don't bang your head on a chair. Come on. It shouldn't take all night to receive this anointing. If you're a person of faith and you believe God will do what he said he's going to do, then you should already have it. Come on. Thanks, Lord. God said some of you crossed Jordan when he told you to, but you didn't step into your promised land. You just crossed Jordan. Then you stopped right there. Tonight he wants you to repent. And he wants you to cross Jordan. He wants you to take a step and walk into your promised land. The things that are being held up is because you stopped when you crossed over Jordan. You didn't take the next step. So right now, tonight, I want you, if you're standing, you take that step, just step forward. If you're on the floor, just in your mind, just see yourself stepping forward, taking that step into the promised land. And God said, there's where your milk and honey's at. There's where all your promises lie. And God's also saying there's a lot at stake here tonight. You have to believe that you believe that you believe that you believe that he's in control.